So, brethren, this is what Satan is. Satan was created evil, and he will always be evil. I know some good-meaning people in the past have thought, oh, maybe he can repent. No, he's not going to repent. He doesn't have that choice to repent. And you'll see how all this works out. I'm getting excited about it already to tell you, but I must cover these basic things. You see, when God created Satan, we've heard this before now, that God, you know, had all these different plans. First it was the angels, they blew it. Then there was man blew it. Then he had to send his son Christ. And, you know, looking at the church and the history, I think we've blown it too. You know, we haven't been doing all that well, brethren. You know, if he's waiting for you individually, you know, we're sunk, aren't we? Really is. God did not have plan A. And then that didn't work out. So then he had plan B. Oh, and that, and then he had plan C. You know, Christ in the church. It just doesn't seem to be doing very well. You know, maybe he'll bring in plan D and push us right aside and do it a different way. We've been told stupid things like that. I can assure you, God has only had one plan from the beginning. And you know what? It's working perfectly. Even in spite of all of your sins, it's working right on time, perfectly. Mr. DeCotch was not a clink in the armor. It was planned. He was prepared, he was chosen, and after all, we can see that it absolutely was taken care of, wasn't it, in that Laodicean era of the church, which most of the other organizations are all part of too. And you'll see the difference of what they believe and what God's truth is. And then, brethren, the Philadelphians, you'll begin to come home. You're going to come home. There is no other place for you to go. You must come here, whether you like it or not. But believe me, you will like it. You will love it, because you will have peace for the first time in your life. God's plan, it is absolutely perfect. And we are seeing it being worked out just as he planned. We don't have to go through all these scriptures. We know Satan is the god of this world. You know that. That's what the Bible says. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't fight against each other, brethren. We fight against the principalities and the spirits. Satan's. That's who we fight against. Satan is being used, he is being absolutely used by God to finish his plan. You'll see an integral part that Satan has had to play within this. We will be talking more about Satan's role later, and you'll get an eye and an earful on that, which you've never known before. I will show you exactly who he is and what he does. There is one big thing that you need to know about Satan that no one has ever told you or you've never known before. We knew this like 12 years ago. God's been preparing. He doesn't send a novice. He prepares. And we are well prepared to answer all of your questions. I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think about this for a minute. Who told you a spirit being cannot die? Think about it. Who told you that? A man told you that. A man told you a spirit being can't die. Because God did not tell you that. And you cannot find it anywhere in the Bible. In fact, God tells us just the opposite. Just the opposite. Now there's many aspects of Satan. And I'll announce something in a moment about that. And you can learn about those aspects. But we're going to concentrate on one thing here about Satan. Something you have to know that sets the plan right. Remember that God only has life eternal in Him. Only God. Satan doesn't. The angels don't. They live by the power of God. But they don't have it in them. Only God has life eternal within Him. And who He gives it to. Now He has given it to Jesus Christ. And Christ and the Father has given it to all of us who are true first fruits in God's church. That's all. That's all, brethren. Satan's counterfeit. This is his counterfeit religion. Satan's counterfeit tells us that he will live forever. No matter what he does, how evil he is, yeah, he's banged around, locked up, thrown around, but he's going to live forever. But man will disobey and be thrown in the lake of fire forever. Boy, if you're bad, you're going to hell. And as we saw in the beginning, there's going to be a lot of company in hell, isn't there? Because you and the church aren't even doing it, let alone the people out there in the world. Satan's going to live, we're going to die. Who told you that lie? Satan. Satan told you that. God never told you that, ever. We're going to see that to the contrary. What does God say? What does He say? It's one scripture we're going to turn to very quickly so you can see it with your own eyes. What does God say? Matthew 25. Goes through these parables. We'll come back to this parable later on, probably the third sermon when we explain some things. But look what he says. The Bible can't lie. Matthew 25, 41. What's going to happen to Satan? Not men, not people. It says then, in verse 41, then shall he say also, this is at this great judgment period, he shall say also unto them on his left, which are, of course, all the demons and Satan, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Get this. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Now you read it. I don't have to repeat it. There it is. Clinking your armor, isn't it? God says that He is going to kill Satan and his demons. He's going to kill them. He's not throwing man in there. He's throwing Satan in there. And we'll come back to that a little bit later. But there's many, many areas in the Bible that God talks about Satan being destroyed. I'm going to read you a few right now. We'll do this very quickly. I'm just going to rattle these off pretty quick, so have a good pencil ready. In Isaiah 30, verse 33, and you'll learn a little bit about this. I'm going to announce this in a moment. But it's talking about this king, and you'll understand that this king is Satan. And he's talking about hell there. The furnace, the fiery brimstone, and it is prepared for Satan. In Isaiah 27, verse 1, it says that he shall slay the dragon. He's going to slay the dragon. He's going to kill the dragon. Duh, who do you think the dragon is? Well, of course it's Satan. In Isaiah 14, the whole chapter talks about the king of Babylon. You'll realize later that it's talking totally of Satan. Not man and Satan, man. It's all Satan. And he says he's going to cast him out of the grave, which means he was in the grave. You're going to find out that Satan dies. Also in Ezekiel 28, he is that prince, that king of Tyrus. It talks about him more there. And in verses 16 through 18 in Ezekiel 28, he says that he will destroy you. He's talking about Satan. He will destroy you and bring you to ashes. Yes, this spirit being, however God does it, he's going to bring him to ashes. In Jude verse 6, trying to give Jude a little bit more credit than he gave, that he had there. But in Jude 6, it says, angels are reserved for judgment. These angels are all evil angels. And it says that these angels are twice dead. Twice dead. You know, the angels, the bad angels and Satan are going to die twice? Whoa, you didn't know that, did you? Jude tells us about it. Of course, in 2 Peter 2, it talks about the whole chapter there is about these evil angels. And in verse 12, it says, as brute beasts. These are brute beasts made to be destroyed. In Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. In Revelation 20, 14, death, Satan, and hell are cast into there. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, this wicked one is going to be revealed and consumed and destroyed. Brethren, there are scripture after scripture on all of this. What you need to do is to send in. That should be enough scriptures right there. You can't get around the scriptures I just gave you. I'm not maneuvering them. That's what it says. Look it up. Get your theory out of your mind and get God's true plan into it. You send in. For a six-part series that we did on this. This is six sermons. And the title is Satan's Life and Death. And we go through this completely. And we will show you Satan in this Bible that you've never seen before. And we'll show you his fate. And we'll show you exactly what is there. If you are getting these tapes and you don't have the album cover, you send in to Church Outreach Program. P.O. Box 6111, Elgin, Elgin, Illinois, 60121. Send in for those. And also send in for the article, Is It Man or Is It Angel? And that'll start to explain to you what is going on. With this knowledge, you will begin to see how all of this fits together. You know, let's thank God that Satan will die. He will die. Now, we could continue for hours. Like I said, I have a six-part sermon on this. And each one of those sermons are an hour and a half. There's a lot of material. But it's very thorough. And once you hear that, you will know what I have just told you is true. But keep this in mind, that Christ came to save the world, and he did. And that Satan, the devil, in his counterfeit, is going to die. And God is going to kill him and his angels forever, for all time. You know, no one should be arguing against me on this. I mean, this is happy news. This is good news. I'm telling you the good news of the kingdom. Don't try to fight this because it doesn't fit your theory. Save your questions. They'll be answered as we get into this plan. Now we want to start to talk about, since we have Christ and Satan, an overview of their lives, why they came, what's going to happen, what the forces is out there, what they all are. We want to talk about the Garden of Eden. We're going to get another huge mystery solved. What really happened in the Garden of Eden? Why did Herbert Armstrong keep going back there at the end of his life? He kept going back and back to the Garden of Eden. He knew there was more, but it wasn't for him to know. You all know this. He never did understand anymore, did he? Because it wasn't time. These are all keys to the true plan of salvation. He was not able to know that. He did his part. He did what he was placed there to do. The Spirit and God fulfilled that within him. And then he died. Then we saw what happened. And another thing was fulfilled. Was man offered the Holy Spirit with the tree of life? We've always been told that. And I have to ask you, was man offered the Holy Spirit with that tree of life? Is this where plan B failed? Did he fail here in the garden? Is this God's plan B and it failed? Oh, poor God. Oh, poor God. I feel so sorry for him. It seems that nothing that he tries works out very well. Is that what you think? Then you're not worshiping the same God I am. Let's look at what really happened in the Garden of Eden. Let's see what Satan never wanted you to know. Remember, we live in this world of a satanic counterfeit. What did Satan not want you to know? He started his very fear religion. He started his very satanic counterfeit to all mankind right here in this Garden of Eden. And how come we don't know it? Well, we didn't need to know it before, but we need to know it now. This is the bride, the Philadelphian era. The last part of it is the bride. It's got to make itself ready. We've got to start putting on the dress. We have to start knowing the groom. We have to start knowing the adversary. That's what we symbolize. Now let's go back. We're going to read a little bit in Genesis. Let's read it right out of the book. I'm not making this up. Here it is. For the first time in your life, with God's Spirit coming right through these words, you're going to see something you've never seen before. That's the way God opens your mind. That's how you know where God is working, through that message and through that power. Now, we all know the story of creation. We're not going to take the time to go through that. I will tell you right now that if you, after hearing this, and I probably will say it again, you write in and you get our three-part series. We have a lot of parts. We have a three-part sermon on the Garden of Eden and what really happened there. I'm just trying to hit the high parts to give you the keys to understanding. So we know that the creation was there. He created man, he created woman, he created all the animals, he created the days. We know that. But I want you to zero in on something here. We're talking about these two trees. We're talking about what happened when Satan came in the presence of these two human beings. Very important to understand. In Genesis 2, verse 9, he says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life." See, he includes this. "The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Okay, we know these are the two trees. Let's come down to verse 16, something that you may not have zeroed in on before. We were never told this. We're told the opposite. So he tells them to dress this and keep this. In verse 16 of Genesis 2, "And the Lord God commanded commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Now, did you get that? It says, of every tree. Should I say 10 more times? Every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But, the one distinction, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, when they did eat off of that, did they instantly die? No. But did they die? Yes. Did what God say was right? Yes. Did he say they could eat off of every tree except that one lone tree? Yes. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Oh, why did God have to say that? Oh, that's all so embarrassing to be picturing, you know, human beings, a man and woman running around naked. Oh, let's not talk about that. No, it's very important. There's a reason why he put this in here. He wanted to show you what happened here. It's very important. Must know. They were both naked and were not ashamed. Remember, God created both of them and they said, look it, this is good. This is good. We're well pleased. This is perfect. This is wonderful. That's what they said about their creation. And they were there sometime before they came by the snake. This didn't happen the next day. I think Mr. Armstrong began to teach us that, and others kept on, that this was like on Sunday. Well, Sunday's a bad day, and it had to happen then. No, it didn't happen then. They were in there sometime. How long, we don't know. But sometime. They were eating off of all of the trees, brethren. Yes, they were eating off of the tree of life. Because the tree of life was never the Holy Spirit. It was a tree of life. You're going to find that out here. They were eating from the tree of life. They ate off of everything. In chapter 3, verse 1. We'll just go down this very quickly. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast. He was the greatest, boy. You talk about deception, he had it built in. He was created that way. And he told them, hey, he says, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Huh? Can't you just go eat everything? You can go eat everything, can't you? And in verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We can eat off of every one of them. See, we've been doing that. We've been eating off of everyone. It's been great. It's been wonderful. Good food. Good food. Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, and he already said which one that was. It was the tree of good and evil. He says, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Even get touch it, you're going to die. And here comes the big one. Here comes the beginning of Satan's counterfeit. First of all, he already deceived them and tried to lie to them. But this is where he sets his whole counterfeit in going. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. There it is, brethren. Did you catch it? That, right there, is when Satan said, well, now wait a minute. You know, you've been created a free moral agent. You have the ability to choose. You have free choice. And you know what? Gullible human beings living under Satan's kingdoms on this earth from that day until this has believed that we are free moral agents, that we can choose, that we have some rights, we have some privileges. And once Satan gets you to believe this filthy lie of free choice and free moral agency, he's got you. He's got you. That's why you've never grown. That's why you have never grown, because you've got that rotten evil, that good and evil in you. It is a spirit. Do you understand? This was Satan's foundational lie of his whole counterfeit. God did not give man choice. He said, no, don't touch it. And that was it. And you know what? Adam and Eve never touched it. They walked and talked with God everywhere within that garden. Everything was good and fine. They obeyed him until Satan came in into that garden. Then all of a sudden everything stopped. Everything was all messed up. And in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so all of a sudden, she never looked on that tree that way before. All of a sudden now, why now? Something was added, wasn't it? Something was there that wasn't there before. Her eyes, ooh, the eyes were already getting open, weren't they? Open to what? Not God's way, open to evil. That's what. And she looked and saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desired. Ooh, all of a sudden she desired to make one wise. Ooh, she took the fruit and did eat and gave it also to her husband with her. And he did eat, duh. He didn't have any power. He did nothing. He just went right along too. Why? Because Satan was standing right there. Satan is a powerful being. And God was allowing something to happen. God's plan did not fail. It worked exactly the way God wanted this to work. So in verse 7 it says, the eyes of them both were opened. Oh, and they knew they were naked. They didn't know that before. Didn't bother them before. Now something has been added to them. And they sewed fig leaves and trees and made themselves little aprons out of these fig leaves and that. Because they knew they were naked. This is where God allowed Satan to put his spirit in human beings. This is where this happened, brethren. This is where Mr. Armstrong kept coming back to. He knew there was more. I'm telling you the more. I'm telling you what the truth is. Satan was allowed to put a, for better words, we're going to use these two words. He was allowed to put a program or a computer chip, really his spirit works the same way, in the mind of man that would absolutely control man's thinking. You can't think God's ways. You think what they do out there in the world. That's why you haven't grown. It's this program. You know, a computer program, whatever's in that program, that's what you can do, all kinds of nifty things in there. But if you try to get out of that program or go beyond the bounds of the program, it says on the computer, you know, retry, abort, get out, look out. See? He was able to put this within us. Now, God made human nature. God made human nature and he said it was good. God put human nature in every human being, and he made it, and it was perfect, and it was good, and it's still there today. Your human nature is good. It's the way God made it. And there was nothing wrong with your human nature. But old Satan comes along, puts a computer chip, puts his spirit within you. I'm not talking as a possession here, like a demon possession here. But it's this computer chip. It's this program he's allowed to put in every human being. Obviously, look around you. And Satan has taught us that human nature was bad. He taught us that something God made was bad, this human nature, to cover up the satanic nature that he put in us. See? He put the satanic nature in us. That's what's bad. And that, brethren, unfortunately, will not depart from us until we die. And not by suicide, but by natural death. When you die, that's when that happens. I don't want somebody thinking that everyone should run out and kill themselves, because that's against God's law. That's murder. Shouldn't do that. Mistakes are made, but generally we're not supposed to do that. Never we're supposed to do that, okay? Satan controls man and makes him do evil. Remember Paul? Paul talks about this in Romans 7, verse 21. He says, I find a law. There is an absolute law within me that when I want to do good, evil is present with me, warring in my members. If Paul had the problem, don't you think you have the problem? Well, of course. Romans 8, 7, it talks about the carnal mind. That's not human nature. This is this carnal mind. This is this satanic mind that has been placed within us. The carnal mind is enmity. It's hatred against God. Not subject to the God's law. It can't be. When God made Adam and Eve, they were subject to him. They did what he wanted. They loved it. All of a sudden, Satan was there. Boom, he put this in their mind. All of a sudden, they had hatred toward God. In Genesis 3, there, verse 7, it says their eyes were opened. With Satan's mind in them, they saw each other through his eyes suddenly. Not God's eyes when they were naked. They saw through his eyes. They saw lust. They saw want. They saw wrong desire. They saw all the fruits of his nature, all evil, was coming through their eyes. That's why they covered up. There was a different attitude. There was a different mind suddenly in Adam and Eve. But they had to cover themselves because there was this want and lust and desire and evil, a get way of life. That's what Satan has put within all mankind, a get way of life. God did not. And both started to lie right about, you know, right away. As you can read on. I won't take the time to read it, but both started to lie about each other and to God. Oh, no, she did it. He did it. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no, no, you're the one. You're the one who gave me this dumb woman, because now I want sin. It's your fault, God. Well, he didn't have that reasoning before. It was boom, he had it. And God sent them out of that garden. Why? Why did God send them out of that garden? He said in verse 22, in chapter 3, he says, And the Lord said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. See? They were already eating off the tree of life. That's very easy to prove, which we will in a second. Verse 24, So he drove man out and placed this cherubim there, and with a flaming sword to turn away and to keep the way of the tree of life. This was not God's Holy Spirit. God was not going to offer him the Holy Spirit. The first one ever to be begotten by God's Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ, the only begotten. And don't get confused about that. The prophets of old did not have a begettal, but the Spirit was with them to accomplish the purpose that God wanted. You'll learn more about that in a little bit. Well, it all fits together when you know these basic things. And it actually makes it so you can read the Bible and understand it. This tree did not have the Holy Spirit in it. It wasn't going to grant them the Holy Spirit. But he says that they're going to live forever if they keep eating off of this tree. And then they would have this satanic thing within them, and they would live forever and they wouldn't die. Was that spiritually, brethren? The Holy Spirit doesn't change you into spirit when you get it, does it? Aren't you still human? Well, what was going to make them live forever in a human state? It was the tree of life, which you're going to learn a little bit more later. Way at the end, you're going to learn more about this tree of life. It was a physical tree that would allow man to live forever if he ate it. There was something in there, some enzymes, whatever. The doctors say today, there's a little gland up there or something in your brain that kind of turns off and doesn't produce this fluid, and then you start to age. Well, when you eat the tree of life, it continues forever. That's why they were chased away. That's why the angel would not let them come back and continue to eat off of that. Or they would have lived forever with Satan's nature in them. See, that's that good and evil. They would have lived with Satan's spirit within them forever. And God would never have allowed that. That wasn't his plan. Look at Adam. He only ate for a short time on it, and he lived to be 930 years. Do you see anyone else living that long? Well, do you see the tree of life around? Do you get it? Tree of life, ooh, live long. Carried on right through his genes. He only ate a little bit. This is how powerful this tree is. Methuselah, down the line of Adam, he lived to be 969 years. Wow. It was a tree of life, brethren. Nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Mr. Armstrong didn't understand it. He didn't need to. We do. And guess what? We do understand it. And no one else is teaching you this. You want the servant of God? Then find the message of God. Because the others aren't preaching it. They don't even know it. None of them even know it. Think God's a dope? No. He does it his way, and he chooses who he wants. He chose King David. Boy, there's a lot of other brothers before him. He was a little scrawny kid. No, God chooses the one he wants. And then when you see that spirit and that knowledge come out of that man, then you know God is working. God is working there. This is his choice. God does have choice. We don't, brethren. God has his way, and it's only one way. He doesn't really choose. He just lives it one way. His way. The perfect way. Again, send in, because I don't have any time here to do it, to really go through it with all the other backup scriptures. Send in for that three-part album of the Garden of Eden. That would be 4.5 hours of preaching on the Garden of Eden. I only spent 20 minutes. I'm giving you the overview. Free choice and free moral agency came from Satan's lie. Now, you'll understand this later. I know you won't buy that right away because it's been drilled into all of our minds. So just put that on the shelf. Remember that I have said this, okay? And that you have been taught this. And as we go through this plan and as you get more and more articles and sermons, you're going to see that that is true. That may be one of the last things you really come to understand, but you will see it. And then you will thank God that it's his way and he's doing it. It'll all make sense later. All the proof will come as we begin to see this true plan of salvation begin to unfold. Now next time, because I'm about out of time here, and I did get done what I wanted to, which is very surprising to me. But God's Spirit does give us patience sometimes and gives us the instruction to do it. Next time we're going to cover the seven churches. We're going to cover the first fruits, the very church of God. We're going to get into the man of sin. I am going to tell you exactly who the man of sin is. I'm naming names, friends. And the names have never been known and have never been named for almost 6,000 years now. But this is what God has given us. And then we're going to start getting into the old plan of salvation, the one that we all thought that we knew and understood. We're going to get into that for a little bit and start going in and then start to reveal God's true plan of salvation. But all of these things you must understand before I reveal this true plan of salvation, so that you know how it all fits. Jesus Christ came to save the world. And thank God He did. And Satan, the devil, was created perfectly evil to do and fulfill the Father's will and what He's doing right now, being the God of this world. And He is going to die. Thank God for that. He's going to die forever. You're going to rejoice when you see how and why and when. And brethren, then we went through the Garden of Eden and we saw that the Holy Spirit was not offered to man at that time. The church wasn't beginning then. That wasn't ever supposed to. They ate off the tree of life. It was a physical tree that allows mankind to live forever if he eats off of it. And we saw that this computer chip, this program of Satan, the satanic spirit, was put within mankind. It was put within mankind, and it absolutely controls mankind. It does not influence man. It controls man. Go out there and look in that world. There's no influence. There's absolutely control. That's what happens. Paul had to fight it. We all have to fight this with God's Spirit. The other people that don't have God's Spirit can't fight it. They just live that way of life. It's the only way it happens. So, brother, next time, we're going to go into these other things, and you're going to start to see the very true plan of God starting to unfold, and it's something you've never seen or never heard before. So until next time, we'll say goodbye, and remember to pray for everyone, and we'll see you all back here next week safely.